This reading comes from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise to be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven geniuses of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you set us free. And just as we stand here in the quiet, let's just bring before the Lord those things that maybe we are sorry for. Maybe those things that we wish we hadn't done, or the things that we reflect afterwards and think we probably ought to have done. And knowing that God forgives us, that he has broken every chain, let's just receive his forgiveness in these words. You might like to put your hands in front of you as you receive that. Merciful God, your Son came to save us and took our sins on the cross. May we trust in your mercy and know your love, rejoicing in your righteousness. That righteousness that is ours through your precious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats. And John's going to come up. Hello, John. Thank you very much for speaking to us today. It'd be good to just pray with you if can before you start. Lord, thank you for John. Thank you for the word that you have rested on his heart that he wants to share with us today. We pray, Lord, that as you have inspired him, that his words from you would inspire us, that they would motivate us more and more into action to see your word proclaimed and your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Paul. You think someone would have invented something like a car. You know we have bottle containers on a car? I think someone should invent one. I always bring a bottle because if I have a glass, I always knock it over. So it's always safer to have a bottle and then you don't get anything wet. We've had a little look already at the story of Open Doors. Open Doors, as we saw, has been going back for many years. And now it extends across the globe because persecution is increasing. Every year, Open Doors presents to Parliament what they call the World Watch List. And it's the top 50 countries where there is persecution. And they get a lot of parliamentarians interested. They get 100 or so parliamentarians who come along to the meeting and hear about the persecuted church. And interestingly, actually, of the what they call the parliamentary groups, the all-party groups, the persecution in the world is actually the second biggest grouping. So the MPs, whatever you may think of the government, the MPs are involved in the persecuted church. So we're going to watch a short video now. This one is the top five of this year's, so it's only a couple of weeks old, World Watch List. So if we can have the video.
There are countries where Christians live in fear, where churches are bombed and houses burned, where following Jesus means sacrificing jobs, security, family. There are countries where you must keep your faith secret, or it might get you killed. These are the countries of the Open Doors World Watch List. And here are the five countries where following Jesus costs the most. Number 5, Yemen. Yemeni culture is tribal. Those who leave the tribal faith could be banished or even killed. Number 4, Libya. In this lawless land, Libyan Christians have to keep their faith secret or risk punishment, arrest, or death. Number 3, Somalia. Islamist extremists consider Somali Christians high-value targets, so the tiny population of only a few hundred secret believers keep out of sight. Number 2, North Korea. There are around 400,000 Christians in North Korea. All of them must hide their faith. Discovery means exile, execution, or being worked to death in horrific labor camps. Number 1, Afghanistan. The Taliban takeover means that Afghanistan is the new number 1, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Many Christians have become refugees. Those who remain must keep their faith utterly secret. There are countries where Christians live in fear, but fear can lead to courage, and courage leads to hope. At least 360 million Christians around the world experience high levels of persecution and discrimination, but they have not given up. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with them. Where Christians are persecuted, our global underground networks supply smuggled Bibles and Christian books, spiritual care, emergency food and aid, training and legal advice. Where Christians are free, we work with local churches to raise our voices in prayer, to speak truth to those in power, to strengthen our persecuted family around the world. Because there are countries where Christians have to stay silent, and there are countries where Christians can make a noise. But we are all connected. We are all family, and together we can help one another to follow Jesus, no matter the cost.
Thank you. Now, Bai is a Christian in North Korea. She was exiled to a labor village, and she works on a farm. Every day, she has to gather a certain quota of food for the government. She is hungry all the time. Because it's a labor farm, she only has enough food to survive and no more. She spends all day working in the field. But come darkness, she creeps out to a hiding place. And she finds in that hiding place a Bible. The Bible is the reason she's in the labor camp in the first place, because the authorities found her with one, and she was exiled to this camp. She takes the Bible and takes it to another place, maybe a home somewhere else, where there's probably a group of maybe 2 or 3, 4 or 5, not more, people gather together. And together, they whisper worship songs, and together, they study the Bible. And that is her real job. Recently, she was able to send a letter out from North Korea. This is what she says. "Whenever I open my eyes in the morning, I feel the presence of our Father. From the perspective of other people, our life of suffering might seem a cursed life. However, this suffering is a blessing from our Father, who allowed it in our life because it is a shortcut to the Father. He knows our suffering and listens to our prayers. We thank our Father who has done such great things to prepare life for us. The thing I give thanks for the most is that Father God uses me to work as his servant. I desire to dedicate my life until death to glorify him. Take care. Bye. Your sister in Christ. So that's one of the more extreme areas of persecution. As we saw on the list, it's actually number two this year, not number one. But actually, the level of persecution has gone up in North Korea, not down. It's not number two because it's got less. It's number two because number one, Afghanistan, has got more. And every year, this list is produced. And every year, it gets worse. Every year, there is more persecution. It's higher now than it's been for the last 30 years. Wherever you look, there is restriction and persecution. In the Far East, in China, we couldn't do any of this. In China, if we were in an official church, there would be a camera on the wall. And everybody's face is recognized as they come in. And then you're recorded that you went to church on Sunday. And that will affect which job you can get. That will affect how much food you get, what control they have over your life. And that is spreading out from China across the world, India and other places. In Africa, there's violence against Christians. Nigeria, that was the top five. Nigeria, number seven, is the most Christians that are killed. 3,000 to 4,000 Christians are killed every year. India and Turkey, nationalism is fueling persecution. In the Middle East, Afghanistan becomes number one, but Yemen is number six, Pakistan number eight, Iran number nine, Syria 14, Iraq 15, all these countries with severe persecution, where places where you can get killed. But there are plenty of other places where it's just difficult to go to school or difficult to get a job. Or you're just, your neighbours hate you and you have to leave your village. So how does the church survive in a situation like this? The reality is that despite this, the church is growing. We might think, oh, persecution, we've all got to shut down. We've all got to stop sharing about Jesus. But actually, these folk are sharing more and more about Jesus. The church is growing across the world in a way probably it's never grown before, in all these difficult places. But you see, they know Jesus. I guess they know him. You'd say they know him better than us. They walk closer to him, as we'll see. In Iran, for instance, it's number eight on the list. 40 years ago, there were only 500 or so Christians in Iran. Now there are 1 million Christians in Iran. They meet in small churches. There are very few large churches. Most churches only have 10 to 12 people in them because that's how they stay undiscovered. But those churches are multiplying. So what we would say as a small group, as you talk, Paul was talking about, that would be their church because that's a safe number. And this is what they say. This is a young teenage girl. And for those of you younger, I would recommend the Open Doors youth section. Great stuff on Instagram and other things, really good stories. They raided our house. They took my father. They took our Bibles. We had to leave home and the land. And then she says this, God has done such great things in our lives that I still believe he is worth following. God will never leave us or forsake us. And always keeps his promises. So how do they cope? What's the basis underneath all this that keeps them going? Well, I think the key is that they have a different view of the world. When you meet these guys, and we've had the privilege of doing that, both in this country when they visited and when we went over to Iraq, you're touched by their kindness, their courage, their authority, and their humility. They have a different view to us. It's almost as though they wear a different set of glasses. You see, they have a view, a heavenly view, rather than an earthly view. They focus on the cross. and on the Bible. And the important thing doing the Bible course, it's really great. Remember, Bai is in her village, is exiled, just because she had a Bible. And they really believe what's in the Bible. So they look to heaven much more than we do. They look to see how heaven sees us and as we see heaven. There's some interesting verses in Ephesians. It says this, God's intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus. The universe is watching us. The universe is watching what we do. Heavenly is watching. They're cheering us on, as it says in Hebrews. In Afghanistan, number one on the watch list, there are still some Christians left. These are the words of a couple called Syed and Fatima. They had a new baby the day the Taliban took over their country. We are on a list. On that list, some are killed, some kidnapped, some have disappeared. There is silence. The biggest thing everyone asks for is prayer. When you pray, you meet us in God's throne room. Come to the throne room. Meet us there with the Lord. We need to ask God on our behalf. We feel alone. So speak to him and let him empower you and us. If you love us, pray for us. See, they see it not just as here, but in terms of heaven too. It's how we see heaven. And this passage that we read in 1 Peter, it's all about hope. And that hope is not just for now. Our hope is that for eternity. Our hope in that vision that keeps us focused on more than just today's problems. Verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's given us new birth, celebration. He's given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And a hope in heaven translates to hope here. It's not a question of something distant and in the future. It's about hope now. Syria's on the news, not very much on the news these days, but it hasn't changed anything in the last 2 years. Maybe even got a bit worse. It's now the poorest country in the world. Inflation is out of control. A loaf of bread, £50 or £70, just for a loaf of bread. No food, no jobs, no fuel, no power. And yet, Open Doors have opened 45 centres of hope, where they give aid and trauma care and spiritual input. They delivered 1 million food packages, children's Bibles and Bibles. And someone said to them, one of the people there, they asked the question, so what hope do you have for your country? And he said, I don't have any hope for Syria. There is only one thing that gives you hope. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the church there is growing. Kurdish church is growing. There was no Kurdish church before the war 10 years ago. The church is growing. The only hope that they have is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And actually, whether we face that reality or not, the only hope we have in the mess that is the world that we live in today is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We may have comforts, but it doesn't change the reality of that. Verse 4. He's given us new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So our inheritance never fails because it's safe. It's in heaven. Bai said, didn't she, in that letter, I desire to dedicate my life unto death to glorify him. Verses 5 and 6, who through faith, being sure of what we hope for, that's what faith is, we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. He provides a shield for us. Life is difficult. It's tough, wherever we are. School, work, home, whatever situation. COVID, other illnesses, other pressures. He is our shield, kept by God's power through suffering. See, the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. It's not a way of comfort. The world is like a river flowing in one direction. Actually, we are called to flow, to jump like a salmon against that river. It should lead to rejoicing, even despite the suffering. We were very privileged 4 or 5 years ago to go to Iraq. Now, Iraq at that time was still in a state of war. Iraq at that time, you could still hear the bombs dropping at night. And we met some of the Christians that were there. Now, if you remember, in 2014, ISIS swept across Iraq. They swept across at such speed that in the afternoon, people said, is there any risk in their city? And people said, no, no, it's fine. By 8 o'clock the same evening, they received a phone call saying, you have 5 minutes to get out of the town. And they literally did have 5 minutes. ISIS was suddenly on the edge of the town, ready to kill, ready to rape, ready to do all sorts of bad things to them. And they ran. 120,000 people left that area and ran across what was the plain of Nineveh to safety in Erbil, in Kurdistan. And they left everything. They left their home, they left their families, some of them didn't all get away. They left their churches, they left their life, their businesses, everything. And yet, when we met them in Iraq, they had a joy in the Lord which most of us in this country don't have. They knew Jesus because they had nothing else. We have so many things that get in the way. The phone, which we're always on looking at something, or the computer, or just the comforts of main life. But they had nothing apart from Jesus. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Jesus had watched over them, but he hadn't given them anything apart from himself. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, just a warning that gold isn't everything on this world, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. So our faith, its genuineness, is always being tested. It's tested through suffering. That's when Jesus finds out what we're really about. It's a greater worth than gold. But it should result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Back to North Korea, number two on the list. If you're found to be a Christian, you can end up in a death camp. You can end up dead. And yet there are 400,000 Christians in North Korea committed, knowing the risk that they might get killed. That's the level of commitment that there is. Open Doors is supporting 70,000 of them, and they have to smuggle the food to support those across the border that is totally shut down. I'll tell you a bit more how they do that in a minute. But you know, even though they are hungry, even though the food has to be smuggled in, they have a principle called holy rice, which means that whatever they give, they always give something away. That's their principle. Whatever they have, they give something away. So even if the food is smuggled in at great risk, even though they themselves may be hungry, the principle is that they still give. Why? Because they know it's not about here. They're looking forward to seeing Jesus. They're looking forward to that inexpressible and glorious joy. that is heaven with Jesus. Another story. This is an amazing statement. This. A few years ago, there was a bombing in Egypt. You may remember it was Coptic Church, major bomb at Easter time. And this is what the father said, Coptic priest, he said this. He said, talking to the people who had actually bombed his church, thank you very much. You won't believe we are thanking you for bombing the church, for killing people, but we thank you because you gave us the honor of sharing death like Jesus. Amazing thing to say. We want to thank you for shortening the journey. Because we're all going to heaven, and you have shortened the journey. It's as though a rocket has taken us there. You see, that focus is not on here and now. The focus is on Jesus and the hope to come. Another, this is Min Soo. North Korea, going back to the other part of the world again. Had the privilege of meeting this guy, such a humble, lovely guy. I'm now focusing mainly on God's calling. My thoughts are already constantly in North Korea. As soon as God gives the green light, I will actually go there. I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready for that. When I go back, I only want to tell the people one thing, the story of Jesus' salvation. So restrictions are everywhere. Persecution is increasing, but the church is growing. And they carry the mark of Jesus. They carry the cross. See, we can seek the supernatural. We can think, well, wouldn't it nice to have some miracles? That would get some people into the church. But you find that there are miracles across the world. People are getting healed. Things are happening. But they're happening in areas where there is suffering. They're happening in areas where people are prepared to take that risk. And they're not for the satisfaction of the people. Miracles lead to repentance. They do in the Bible. So how do they live their lives? Well, I think it's summed up with this. This is someone who looks after smuggling food across into North Korea at great risk. This is what he says. He says, we are very sensitive to the Spirit of God. So we never lose an opportunity when we need to obey. We never lose an opportunity when we need to obey at any moment. If we obey, Jesus opens the door. He makes a way through difficulties and barriers. After all, he is ruler and creator. We simply obey moment by moment, case by case, sensitive to the Spirit of God, and then obeying immediately. And then God does miracles. How they get the stuff across a closed border, how they feed 70,000 people, we have no idea. It's all top secret, apart from the secret. And the secret is sensitivity to the Spirit and obey immediately. God, who is ruler, does miracles. So that's what's happening across the world. It's exciting. Jesus is alive. Jesus is working. The church is growing, but the church is suffering. And they need, as we went back to the beginning, they need our prayers. They're asking, if you love us, pray for us. So then what's our response? Well, I think we can give thanks that we're here in freedom. We can meet without somebody threatening us, without the police monitoring us, without the danger of having a Bible and going to a labor camp. We can get informed. Literature at the back, do come and pick some up as you go out. Or you can get it on Instagram, on Facebook, and get emails. It really helps stimulate your spiritual walk. And they do ask for prayer. Yes, they need money. Yes, it all costs. But they ask for prayer. So that's the practical side of it. And finally, I guess the question is, where is my focus? Where is our focus? Is it on this world, on the culture here, or is it on them, on Jesus, on our hope, on our future? See, Jesus is coming again. We're all going to meet Jesus one day, some of us sooner than others. We don't know when. We don't know when we're going to meet him in heaven, or maybe he'll reappear on the earth. We don't know when that's going to happen. Life is changing very quickly now. So I guess the question is, do we really know this Jesus? If you don't really know him, if you don't know that hope, then ask him into your life. Come to him. Talk to Paul. Talk to someone about it. If you don't have that desire to be with him in heaven, talk to somebody. Pray about it. And know, going back to what we saw right at the beginning with the kids' stuff, that walking with Jesus, whether it's through suffering, through trials or whatever, is always an adventure. Let's pray as we close. Jesus, we thank you for those that we've mentioned. We thank you for their commitment to you, for their example, for their love, for all that they represent across the world, who are willing to take the risk and suffer for you, who will take the risk and risk their lives for you. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their spirituality. Thank you for their hope in you. And Lord, we just pray that you would open our hearts . Lord, just come by your Spirit and open our hearts, soften our hearts to see this as you see it. Please, Lord, forgive us for where we forget, and help us to remember and to walk with you.